Well, if you haven't noticed, our worship service this morning has especially focused on praise. We're going to continue speaking about that this morning and just how important that praise is in our life, and authentic praise is to our lives. I want you to imagine, and Isaiah points to this, that before coming here this morning, that the Lord was waiting. He's waiting for you. He was waiting for his people to gather. He was waiting for them to raise up their voices. He was waiting for them to show up, to lift up their hearts to the Lord, to lift up holy hands. And then when he got here, what did he experience? Did he experience true hearts of worship? Did he experience people who were here to authentically give praise to God and thanksgiving, and their souls were just overjoyed and overwhelmed with the Spirit in their lives, that they just gave spontaneous, powerful praise to the Lord? Or, Isaiah seems to ask us, when he showed up, was there something that was not quite right? Maybe, first of all, was he bored? The Lord say, is this all you got? Is this all you have in your heart for me? Or did we come as deceivers and as liars, whereas we've been living a whole different life outside of this place, and with not walking in obedience to God, but when we gathered here, we put on a face of worship and we acted out worship? And Isaiah says, the Lord told me that is just an abomination. That is something that I detest, the Lord said. I want to leave us with a phrase that I hope we'll take with us today and this week, and that it will remind us throughout the week what we need to do in our relationship with the Lord, particularly in relationship to worship and to praise. And that is to be real and to be ready. As Christians who are ready to worship God, who are people who worship God, we should always be real and we should be ready. And that's what we'll talk about today. Isaiah lays it out for us. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, let me tell you what real worship is. Let me tell you what it means to be ready to worship. And what he ties together, and we'll see Jesus tying this together today in a passage from Luke that we'll read, is that real, authentic worship always has to be paired with a readiness to do justice and to help the oppressed, to do kindness in our life. We can't walk through our lives ignoring the injustice and the oppression and the hurt around us, ignoring that day after day, and then gather for worship and then expect to offer up authentic praise that the Lord is present with and says, yes, this is what I showed up for. Thank you for that praise. Because it's praise that is paired with practice, with goodness, and with kindness in the world. And Isaiah says to us to be real and to be ready. And it's interesting that Isaiah ties this into a sense of honesty. That if we're going to have authentic worship, if we're going to show up here every week and give up praise to God that is pleasing to Him and that He can receive and say, yes, that is worship, that is praise, and it's praise that honors Him, then we have to be honest with ourselves and with our lives and how we're living them in the world. We have to tell the truth about ourselves. There was a pastor who was walking down the street, and he came upon about a dozen boys, and they were standing in a circle, and there was this dog in the middle of them. And he paused for a minute because he thought maybe the boys were going to do some harm or something to the dog. So he showed up and he said, fellas, what's going on here? And one of the boys spoke up and he said, well, there's this stray dog that showed up and he doesn't belong to anyone, and all of us wanted the dog, and so we decided we'd have a contest and whoever could tell the biggest lie would get the dog. And the preacher was astonished. He was taken aback. And all of a sudden, he sort of just spontaneously broke into a sermon to these boys about telling the truth and being honest. And somewhere in that sermon, he said, "Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." And there was this silence. And the boy said, "Ah, shucks, give the dog to the preacher." So, we got to be honest about our lives and our relationship to the Lord. That means being real. And Isaiah says, if we are real, and being real means that we bring up, we gather for worship, and we gather for praise and thanksgiving, but it's paired with a life of righteousness and of justice and of helping, what he says, helping the oppressed, orphans and the widows and those who are oppressed in our midst. If we pair those together, Isaiah says joy comes into our lives. He doesn't say our lives won't have difficulties, it won't have challenges, it won't have disappointments, but he says it will have, at the basis of life, it will have joy. And who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want, at the very basis of their life, in spite of all the difficulties and troubles and disappointments that we have, underlying all of that, a foundation of joy that we can face our struggles with? And Isaiah says, joy comes to those who are faithful in worship, with worship that is real. But he says, if we refuse to be honest, if we show up with false faces, and false faces are on those of us who come to give up praise and worship to the Lord, but it hasn't been paired with a righteousness and justice and helping those in need and showing kindness throughout the week. If those aren't paired and we showed up, he says, joy won't come. He says, be ready. Those who are rebellious in this manner will find only misery. Well, for one thing, they'll just be miserable with themselves. But also misery will come to their lives because they don't have that foundation of joy that comes with pairing righteousness with worship. So we got to be real. We got to be real about who we are. None of us is perfect. We got to be real about what we failed to do when we came into the presence of injustice or oppression or of someone in need. Did we show kindness? Did we offer a hand? Did we speak up truth in the midst of an unjust situation, whether it was at work or at school or a neighbor or in your family, whatever it was? And then we find that joy comes when we live that kind of life and bring that to our worship. So that's being real, offering up authentic worship combined with acts of kindness and justice. But we also find in the Scripture that if we're going to have authentic worship, then what I mean by that is us gathering here Sunday mornings, that's our primary time of worship, gathering together and worship that is pleasing to God. God shows up and he's waiting for us to give authentic worship, and it's when God says, yes, that's what I meant. That's what I wanted in return for my love. Not only does it need to be real and authentic, but we're told in the Scriptures we have to be ready. Being real has to be accompanied by being ready. We must always be ready to do justice. We must always be willing to take steps when we see that kindness and goodness and mercy and justice are needed in our walk. We talked about this last year, I remember, about readiness, about being ready to when the Spirit calls, to be ready. And we talked about the three-point stance in basketball. You may have remembered that. And we had that if you're going to be in basketball, if you're going to be ready to take action, you got to be in the three-point stance where you can either dribble, you can shoot, or you can pass. Well, there's a spiritual readiness that we always need to be in our lives if we're going to react to injustice and oppression. And Jesus teaches this concept in Luke chapter 12, in other places, but in Luke chapter 12, we're going to point to that. He tells us that we need to always be dressed for service, ready for the master to knock at the door. When Christ comes knocking at the door, he asks if our lamps are lit or have we gone to sleep. Because we can go to sleep in life. We can go to sleep to the oppression and injustice and hard times around us. People are suffering all around us, and we can just put the blinders on and be concerned about our own lives and our own agendas and not be concerned about those around us. But we can't, if we're not ready to respond to the Holy Spirit if we do that. And then if we think we can come into worship and give worship that is real to the Lord, we're kidding ourselves. Because we always have to be real about worship, and that means to be ready. To be ready to do kindness in our lives. So Jesus talks about being dressed for service so that when the Master comes to the door, that we're ready. Then we'll ask a personal question here. Have you ever been sitting in your house in your PJs, maybe even your boxers, fellas, and there comes a knock at the door? And panic sets in just for a moment, doesn't it? Oh, wasn't ready for that. Now, maybe that doesn't bother you. You answer the door anyway. How can I help you? My grandpa Quarter was like that. About any time you'd show up at the house, especially in the summer, he'd be sitting there with his shirt off and his suspenders on over his bare chest, and his pants were halfway buttoned down because there was no air conditioning. And when there's no air conditioning, you got to make your own air conditioning, right? And he'd come on in, and he didn't care. But for most of us, if we're in our PJs and the door rings, we're thinking, oh boy. And we look around, is the house clean? No, is it presentable? Jesus says, spiritually, don't put yourself in that situation. Jesus says, don't ever be in your PJs. Always be dressed for service. Always be ready. Don't be asleep to the need and the hurt and the pain around you, but instead always be ready. Have your lamp on, and when you see it, respond to it. When you see someone hurting, when you see someone in need, when you see someone who needs a hug, be ready for service and go into action. Because if you don't do that, and then you show up here on Sunday morning and you're ready to give praise, the Lord's like, yeah. In fact, Isaiah says it's an abomination if we gather here. But yet we've been living the whole week not being ready. Not being ready for service to the Lord. We're supposed to be ready on a moment's notice. Ready to show mercy and justice. Do you see an injustice? Do you see a hurt happening in the workplace? Or maybe in the hallway of your school, or maybe in your neighborhood. Well, we're supposed to be ready to speak up. We're supposed to be ready to do the right thing. Maybe no one else is ready, maybe no one else is willing, but we as followers of Jesus are supposed to be ready, ready on a moment's notice. I've been at the fire department at Jeffersonville when the alarm has gone off, instantly ready for service. Those guys and gals aren't in their PJs. They're ready. They're ready for service. Isaiah and Jesus teach us to be ready to do kindness, to care for orphans, for the widows, for the oppressed in a moment's notice. And Jesus refers to this throughout the Gospels. He uses the term watchfulness. He always tells us to be on the watch. It's a spiritual orientation that we're to have, to be watchful, always to be attuned to the Spirit. Too often we're attuned to our egos and our pride and our desire to look good to those around us, and so we're not attuned to what the Spirit's saying to us and knocking on our heart to do. Instead, we're attuned to what's going to make us look good or what's going to please us or to pump us up and pump our ego up. But Jesus says that we should instead be watchful. Watchful for the work of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit desires to come in, to reach out into our lives and bring us into the presence of God so that His power can work through us and we can do good in the world. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to come into us and get us prepped and ready for service, because the Holy Spirit is the active love of God. Now, the early church used a word for that, perichoresis, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But God is always quick to show love and mercy. In fact, there's several scriptures, you'll run across it if you read the Bible. It occurs so many times, especially in the Old Testament, that God is slow to anger, but he's quick to love, he's quick to mercy, he's quick to forgiveness, he's gracious, abounding in steadfast love. So being real and ready is the very nature of God. When we're real, our worship is real, and we're ready to do justice, we have the very essence of God living in us. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's through this perichoresis. Perichoresis, it's a Greek word. Peri means around, like the perimeter, peri. And choresis is a dance, a choreography. So perichoresis is to dance around. The Holy Trinity is in a holy dance around the universe, around the creation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are in this dance. This dance of love, and the Holy Spirit's job is to reach out to you and bring you into the dance so that you'll be ready. I want to try I don't think I've done this before, but it's come to mind. I want to try a little exercise here of this. I need two volunteers, one man and one woman. Any volunteers? You want to know what you're doing first, though, don't you? All right, there's a man. We need one woman. Do we have a woman? Do we have a woman? We're going to do a little dance, actually. Look at that. Well, you get a chance to dance with Tom here. All right, there we go. Since Tom's just a few years older to me, I'm going to let him in this exercise, be just a few years, be the father. I'm going to be the son, and we're going to let Patricia be the Holy Spirit. Now, we're in a dance here, so just grab my hands here. All right, and grab hands. All right. The Trinity, there we go. We're not really going to dance. Ring around the rosy. So this is the Holy Trinity. They're in constant communion. The Father is the head of the God. He's the head of the Godhead. The Son is the Creator and the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is the one who is the active love within that relationship. Now, as the holy dance is going around, we won't go in a circle. I'd get dizzy anyway. Okay, there we go. As the perichoresis is going, this holy dance is going, all of a sudden, the Holy Trinity says, we need someone. So it reaches out, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. There we go. Reaches out, and looky there. Ah, now the dance continues. Now, guess what? She's got the love of the Holy Spirit in her. Tell me your name again.
Stella,
thank you. Now, Stella's full of the Holy Spirit. She's ready. She's ready for service. And the Holy Spirit says, Stella, go out. And she grabs a close relative. All right. Now, the Holy Spirit's entered into you. Now, boy, it's growing, isn't it? Now, the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart to reach out to someone. So you're going to go out and reach. Okay. All right. Come on up here and dance with us. All right. You see how this works. Now, what if the Holy Spirit is speaking to Stella and says, Stella, go out and get someone. And Stella says, nee. It doesn't grow, does it? The dance of love doesn't grow. And there's someone out there who needs to dance. Man, they need love. So you see how that works? So that's the perichoresis, the dancing around. So thank you all very much. So you're at the dance, and you're sitting along the wall. And the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, let's dance. You better have your good news dancing shoes on. Because he wants you to be ready. Because he's ready for you to come into the circle and to dance with the dance of the perichoresis, the holy dance. And then he wants you to come in and dance, and you'll reach out to another partner, and another partner will be reached out to. And you see how that works. Now, if you're sitting along the wall and the Holy Spirit comes over and says, get your good news dancing shoes on, And you're like over there and you're bitter and you're resentful and you're angry and you got sin in your life that you're not willing to give up, and you know, you're holding grudges, whatever it is. Well, Isaiah says, well, right then and there, you've just made yourself miserable. You see how we bring the misery upon ourselves? Because the Holy Spirit wants us to dance. But we say, nah, I'm going to hang on to this grudge. I'm going to hang on to this anger. I'm going to hang on to this sin, and I don't want to let it go. And so you don't join the dance. You don't enter into the perichoresis with the Holy Trinity. And you miss out on a blessing. And not only you, but the community. One who needs the Lord may miss out. Their blessing may be delayed because you didn't put your good news dancing shoes on and then reach out and invite another to the dance. And so when the Lord says, be ready, be fully dressed for service, be ready for the Holy Spirit to show up in your life at any time and say, that person needs to dance. They need to be in the holy dance, and you reach out and you invite them in with kindness and with love, with mercy, whatever it is they need in their life, and they join the dance. And that there's power in that. There's salvation in that. There's eternal life in that, and there's life abundant today in that. So we better have our good news dancing shoes on when the Holy Spirit shows up, and be ready to fight injustice, to be ready to show kindness. But even worse, Isaiah warns that us, though, that the Holy Spirit had better not find you with a false face of authentic worship. This is even worse, Isaiah says, that the Lord better not find us showing up with a false face of worship on when we've not been in the dance throughout the week. When we've been living in sin and we've been denying the presence of the Holy Spirit, we've been fighting it and rejecting the Holy Spirit, but then we come in here and we act all righteous and holy. We say, Jesus, you know, we say it like that because it might impress someone. The Lord says, I abhor that. If we have sin in our life, or if we have fallen short before the Lord, if there's something that we need to lay before the Lord before we even think about lifting up false praise, we need to bring that sin to the Lord. We need to lay that grudge before the Lord in worship and say, Lord, take this from me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my shortcoming. Forgive me for being quiet when I should have spoken up. Forgive me for not showing kindness and inviting that child to the holy dance when you were knocking on my door and calling me to invite them into the dance, but I rejected it because, for whatever reason, I was too busy, or I was worried about my own ego, or I was nursing my own grudges, whatever it is. Forgiveness, or seeking repentance, is always at the front end of worship. Repentance is always at the front end of worship, because when we come into these doors and we try to lift up praise to the Lord, and we've got a sin on our heart that we haven't turned over to the Lord, or we've got a grudge that we haven't let go of, or there's something we didn't do and we should have done it, and that's tearing within us, but yet we're going to try to say Jesus and lift up holy hands with that sin in our life, Isaiah says the Lord hates that. So come into worship with your sin, and we all do. Come in with your sin and turn it over to the Lord in repentance. And say, Lord, I'm ready to worship you, but we got to deal with this. Please deal with this sin in my life. And then the joy can come into your worship. And then the Lord says, yes, that's worship. Because it's real and you're ready now. And that's how authentic worship works. And so let's close the with this question. Are you real, and are you ready? First, are you real? Is your worship and your praise here each Sunday backed up by a life of kindness and of mercy and of justice, especially to the least of those in your path? And then second, are you ready? Are you fully dressed for service to the Lord? Or are you in your spiritual PJs, nestled deep down into your cozy chair, concerned only for yourself and your own agenda? Or are you attuned to the holy dance, the perichoresis, the holy dance of the Holy Trinity that wants to bring you in so that you can bring others in and you can be a light into the world? It's a beautiful dance. Isaiah says elsewhere that blessed upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. It's a beautiful life, this holy dance. May we be real and may we be ready for it. Let's pray together. Father, we don't deal with our sin. We hide it. We ignore it. We project it onto others, but we don't deal with it. And because we don't deal with it, when we come into your presence, our praise is not real. Father, teach us to repent of our sins. Teach us to turn them over to you. Your scripture tells us that you're quick to forgive, that our sins will be as far from you as east is from west, but we just have to let go. And then our worship can become real. But we know it will only be real if we're ready throughout the week to dance within the holy dance of you, our Holy Trinity, our blessed Holy Trinity. So make us real and ready this week, Father. Teach us to do kindness and mercy and justice, so that when we gather here again next week, our praise might be more authentic and a greater witness to the beautiful God and Savior that you are. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.